Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Win in Toronto. The Bruins can close it out Tuesday night at TD Garden. 3-1 the final and 3-1 in the series.
Welcome into Sunday Skate. Indeed, 3-1 the series. Bruins win both games in Toronto, games 3 and 4. 3-1 final Saturday night. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Prue. You can join us, 617-779-7937. Text in 37937. Guys, a lot to get to as the Bruins now have a chance to close out the Leafs on Tuesday night at TD Garden. Razor, you're free. We don't have to talk goalie rotation this week.
We're still going to talk goalies.
We'll definitely talk goalies because Jeremy Swayman has been awesome.
We don't have to talk goalie rotation ever again, so it's perfect.
Well, hold on.
No, it'll never happen again, so we'll just move on.
So we're not going to see Allmark.
We're going to see Allmark again. We're just not going to see
Back to back.
True rotation. Yeah,
I'm not taking a victory lap. We're just never seeing a rotation. So good.
Scott was gonna if it turned out the way that he expected, he was going to.
I knew, but I was never concerned about
that. I almost thought I was gonna have my shot that game too. Like when that second period when Allmark's making crazy save after crazy save. Like I was so ready to take one, but yep. You know they slip, they lose that game. Swayman wins the last two.
Were you at all surprised, Razor, with the decision, or was that so common sense that it was obvious?
Yeah.
To go back to Swayman for Game 4.
So common. So, and let's wait. Let's do this later because it's really not the story. It really isn't the story.
No, I would say the two stars of both of these two games in Toronto, Swayman and Nett, but number one even above that, Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
Who has just been excellent. 3 points in Game 3, two more in Game 4. Leading with this play, leading by example, getting under the Leafs' skin. You know, we're going to play the Sheldon Keefe cut that everyone's heard because it's the quote of the series now at this point. But he has completely taken over the series. And going in, you know, he's probably not, at this point in his career, he's probably not the guy you would have picked if you said one player is really going to take over. You would have thought, well, maybe it's Matthews with Toronto. Maybe it's Pastrnak with Boston, but this has just been outstanding series for Brad Marchand.
It feels like Marchand's got him right where he wants him. Like, he's been getting the better of that Bertuzzi feud that's going on. He's definitely been getting under everyone's skin. He's been making Sheldon Keefe say stupid things in the post-game press conferences, but he's been great. He's been bringing a lot of energy, and you kind of saw it even ramp up more on the road.
No, it was awesome. Awesome, incredible, impressive, captain-like. It just, his intensity, his emotion, his passion, and his ability to drag everybody to that level was it was as good as it gets. It really was for and again we'll get to the, but just his, he knew exactly where he needed to take his emotion level after game two. Again, I thought he was good in game one. I thought he was good in game two. Like, I thought he was doing the right things. Certainly in game one, Domi, we talked about all that last week. Domi going at him, like, what was going on? He responded to that perfect, and he responded to the loss even better. And Montgomery talked about it, him in the morning skate, being at a level and showing the younger guys the level that was necessary. You saw it on the ice, right at the start of game three, his physicality, but not getting out of everything after the whistles. It was awesome. And it was so obvious how great of a leader he was in those two games. And I can only imagine the confidence that's giving him and giving the team, knowing they can follow this guy. And I think it's really important. Like, he had an unbelievable January, right? January he was incredible in January, really clipping along. All right, he's going to get to 410 goals this season. It's another 80-90 point season, and then he scores 5 goals in February, March, and April. So going into the playoffs, you think, like you said, Scott, I wasn't expecting him to be right behind Connor McDavid after 4 games in scoring in the National Hockey League. You're hoping that he can chip in. You're hoping he gets that wrister over the shoulder. Like, that's what you need him to do. But to continue that and to have points in each game and like you said, 5 points in Toronto, it can't be understated. It really can't be understated. The steps that this guy's taken from all the way through his career, but now the step that he's taken as a captain that we saw early in this season and how he kind of made this his team, and now he's taken it through 4 games of the playoffs. I'm not going to overstate that either. He's got to close this series out and continue, but this is what the guys before him have done with their teams in the playoffs. And he was number one star. Swayman was good. He was number one star, no question, over the last 2 games.
Yeah, you mentioned right behind McDavid. So Marchand, 8 points in 4 games. McDavid's got 9 in Edmonton series. And that's it. And 6 of Marchand's points on the power play. And that's been so crucial in the series as well. He has 2 power play goals, including 1 Saturday night. 4 power play assists. We know how bad the Bruins power play looked down the stretch, and look, that there are many problems, but he was one of them. Like, there were times on the power play where he wasn't looking to shoot, or plays would kind of die on his stick. He'd hold onto the puck too long. And I just think you see so much more urgency where he's really stepped up and he's been the driving force of that power play. I mean, I think 3 of those power play goals came without Pastrnak on the ice. So he's been the leader in that way. And the Bruins power play in this series, now 6-for-13. We can get into the flip side of it, the penalty kill as well, which is 13-for-14, limiting the Leafs' power play. But Bruins' power play has been incredible, and we didn't see this for a month down the stretch until maybe the very last game of the season when Montgomery changed up the units. But everyone has kicked it up, and that's another area where I think Marchand has really led the way, just with the right approach of urgency of what to do with the puck and a stick, looking to shoot, buries that one-timer last night for the second goal that puts the Bruins up 2-0. And, yeah, I know there was a lot of game left after it, but, like, that felt like so much of a dagger. Like, the things were already kind of quiet in Scotiabank Arena up there in Toronto, and that really sort of took the air out for pretty much the rest of the night.
Yeah, and I saw someone tweeted at us that the atmosphere there was just awful, and that they were piping in the crowd noise that was the Go Leafs Go chant. I don't know, Razor, do they actually pipe in noise? Like, remember during the pandemic when there was no fans and some rinks and some stadiums would just pipe in a little bit of crowd noise and make it sound louder than it is? Is that something that they actually do?
No. They have like the it's like the outside, but it's not like actual clapping.
It's not
clapping.
Like fans going,
no, no, it's like, no,
the, like,
no.
It'd be like the like that encouragement or whatever.
Yes,
yeah.
That's what it is. It's the ch. Well, the and listen, the you're right on the shooting on the and Leafs PK is so bad. So that's also helped, right? Like that's so, and but it's the mentality. And listen, Brad's missed that one timer a lot over the last 3 months. He's hit it over the net. He hasn't got all of it. He hammered that one. The wrister the other night over the glove isn't a power play goal, but he hasn't hit that shot in a really long time. So again, it's his urgency in those plays and recognizing you don't get many opportunities, even on a bat, even against a terrible Toronto penalty kill in the playoffs, you just don't get many of those. And he recognizes the moment of that being a dagger. Cause it felt the Leafs have only scored 3 goals once in the last 11 playoff games with this core. Like it's not like it went back to like 1960. These guys have only scored 3 goals in a playoff game once in the last 11 times. So the second goal was like the winner. They're not getting more than that. They just can't get more than that, which is a whole nother story and bananas to think. And I know we're going to get to the penalty kill, but this still, I think this tags onto Marchand more. He's the first, it's Charlie and Brad. First one. They're the ones killing the first 35, 40 seconds of these penalty over in Toronto.
They're
He's
so
the
good.
First one over. They've been ragging the puck. It looks like him and Patrice again, the old days of him penalty killing. And they got away from that. They had to save some of his legs for that in the regular season. And that's come back. And I think that's part of his game that keeps him energized in blocking shots. And just it's literally the full package of leadership and skill and taking his game to another level and showing everyone else what kind of level you need to get to come playoff time. You can't, if you go into the regular season the same way or the playoffs the same way you did in the regular season, you're so far behind. And we've seen that from the Leafs, I think.
Yeah, in game three, that goal he scored to make it 3-2 in game three was, it just felt like, okay, that's going to do it. Like you almost knew that the Leafs at that point, they did have a little bit of a push after that. And they had a strong push in the third period in game four that eventually I felt like the Bruins got a little bit lucky where the media timeout kind of fell in perfectly where there was some momentum for the Leafs. And then all of a sudden you kind of just saw it kind of trickle out after that. But you're right. Both of those goals in game three and in game four by Marchand just felt like such big exclamation points on what the Bruins were doing right.
Well, and another thing that killed the Leafs' momentum in the third period was William Nylander just tackles Jake DeBrusque and takes an offensive zone penalty. When the Leafs had the Bruins pinned in there for like a minute, DeBrusque doesn't have a stick.
No, he couldn't have done anything.
Like, this is, Razor, you mentioned the Leafs' penalty kill being bad, but, you know, another clear aspect that's emerging in the series is the Leafs just being unable to get out of their own way. That's now 6 offensive zone penalties they've taken in the series, and it was a Marner offensive zone penalty hauling down Charlie McAvoy that leads to the power play that Marchand scores on. That one in the third period by Nylander kind of kills their momentum. The Bruins don't score on that power play, but Leafs really, you know, and then the Leafs actually get their own power play after that. Chance to cut it to 3-2 late, but again, the Bruins penalty kill just excellent. The Leafs got 0 shots on goal on that final power play, pushing for their lives, like, you know, desperately need a goal, and they can't even land a single shot on that power play late in the third period. Obviously, Austin Matthews' absence is a factor there. He leaves the game at the second intermission due to illness. Sheldon Keefe, Toronto's coach, said doctors pulled him, so, you know, obviously that's got to be something pretty serious. You can't dismiss that because obviously Austin Matthews was terrific in game two and was the biggest reason the Leafs won that game and hasn't looked the same since, but still doesn't take very much away from what the Bruins are doing and have done these last two games.
No, it doesn't. I think, yeah, that's, it's just, it wouldn't have mattered the way they were playing last night, whether Matthews came back in the third. He's certainly, he was for the beast that we saw in game two, three and four was not the same. He hasn't skated all week. He hasn't done pregame skates. He hasn't practiced. No one's seen him. So he's sick. Like there's absolutely no doubt. You could tell.
Yeah, his face was bright red. Like they showed him like a close up of him sometimes right about to take a face off, and his face was beat red and he just looked bad.
Yeah, he wasn't able to, you know, there was no hitting. There was no energy to his game. He was trying to get shots on goal, but.
But once again, with the Leafs fans, all I could see after the game was, oh, you know, he gave up. Like he did. It was too late. He knew the game was over. He wanted to go home. Someone said he's putting his earrings in. Someone said he's getting his tea time ready. Like that's what the Leafs fan base does. They were doing the same thing to Nylander earlier in the series. And now they were doing the same thing to Matthews.
Yeah, he's not going to take as much heat that for you know, like whatever on X. Who cares what's going on there? I mean, that's the the fan base is going to Matthew. If he's that sick, it's 3-0. You know, you have to play. Like, there's no point of him playing there. We could have a comeback. They weren't coming back in that game. There's no way they were coming back in that game. So rest, you know. Get him out of the rink, get him home, get him hooked up to an IV for the next 3 days because he needs to be a monster in game five for them. The other guys will take a bunch of heat, but for him, it was just he wasn't 100%, and that doesn't help the Leafs when the only reason they've won one of these games is because of him.
Do you think, though, that there are other players in the league that would have tried to play through that and that, that's kind of where the criticism comes from. Like, okay, we know there are players like Patrice Bergeron that exist and players that understand it's playoffs and that they put their body, they really work their bodies basically to the breaking point in order to try to win a playoff series. Because they definitely needed Matthews in that game.
He tried to
get back into it in the third period.
No. I think the whole mythology of Patrice and the whole thing, if it was game four, Patrice had broken lungs and broken ribs and broken everything, and they were down 3-0 going into the third, that he probably wouldn't have played that game, you know, that 20 minutes, and they would have tried to, you try and find rest. The same way they pulled a goaltender. Like, they were doing a bunch of things to try and get back into the game. So, no, I don't, like, there's lots of guys that have missed periods in playoff hockey that are considered warriors and, So, who knows? For all we know, he couldn't even go out there because he's puking his guts out, right? Like, there's certain scenarios that are of sickness that, unfortunately, no matter, you know, how tough you are, you can't play hockey. So, we won't hear any criticism from real people.
Real people.
for not playing the 20 minutes.
The non-Twitter.
Yeah, like the bot.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, the bot.
Yeah. So one of the reasons, and we'll definitely get into this next segment, but one of the reasons that game was out of reach for the Leafs, you know, listen, 3 goals in third period, normally maybe not entirely insurmountable, but the way Jeremy Swayman's been playing absolutely is. Like, you're just not scoring 3 in a period on him right now. He's been too good. He's been pretty clearly the best goalie in the entire Stanley Cup playoffs. You look across the league, I want to get into that next, his play, but it's just been awesome. We're off and running here on Sunday Skate. Again, you can join us, 617-779-7937. Text in 37937. Bridget has you trending. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You're listening to Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Sheldon, when you look at the impact of Brad Marchand tonight, whether it's on the score sheet or off the score sheet as well, just getting under guys' skin, what do you do to contain him going forward?
Well, you got to play through it. You got to recognize, you know, he's a world-class player, both in ability and in how he plays, in the gamesmanship and everything. It's world-class, and he's been in the league long enough. As you can see, he gets calls. It's unbelievable, actually. How it goes, you know. We got to play through that. You got to play through that stuff. I don't think there's another player in this series that gets away with taking out Bertuzzi's legs the way that he does. There's not one other player in the series that gets away with that, but he does. It's an art, and he's elite at it. So we have to manage our way through that, avoid putting ourselves in situations where he can put us in those spots. And then as far as this game, I think we've managed that pretty well for the most part. Obviously tonight we make him a stake at a key time that allows him to get the winner.
There it is, the soundbite of the series. Sheldon Keefe after game three talking about Brad Marchand somehow getting all the calls, even though he's actually not drawing penalties in this series.
It's unbelievable.
Even though the Leafs got 5 power plays in that game, they got another 3 Saturday. Like, you know, you got to play that game to an extent, but I don't think Sheldon Keefe had much of a leg to stand on there, and don't think it worked because Marchand, you know, didn't get off his game at all Saturday, just continued to dominate. And I thought one of the funniest moments Saturday, so I think it might have been Edmondson, got like right in Marchand's face, and they were kind of like staring at each other, but it didn't really come to shoves. And then like 4 or 5 other guys kind of came in and scrummed it up, and Marchand just skated away, like just calmly skated away. It was like, I'm not doing that.
No, he's done. He's been right there, and he goes low on Bertuzzi last night. Like, that is, it's not a penalty. It's just perfect. It's not a penalty, but it's so annoying. It's right in front of the Leafs bench. It's right at the end of a period, so he knows he can just get off the ice and get away from it. You know it drives Bertuzzi nuts. He can't do anything about it. It was like all of these little plays, like the elbow in game three that he got away with. He's done it perfectly. He just couldn't do it better. Like that little brother that annoys you so much, but he's good at everything.
But he's the older brother technically, because he's like one of the older guys in the league at this point. But he's still a pain, and he did get away with that one elbow for sure. But when you think back to like, it just felt so out of touch to say Marchand gets all the calls, because in historically Marchand has been on the other side of that so many more times than getting the calls. It just felt like, okay, well, it honestly felt like he was watching a different game than everyone else.
Well, and Sheldon, again, somebody should have grabbed Sheldon. Somebody should have told Sheldon before the series started that you don't, and most coaches do, like, coaches typically don't talk about other players. Like, you really shouldn't talk about other players. And in this situation, it should be in his coach's room in big red marker before he walks out on the ice. Don't talk about Brad Marchand. Like, don't bring up his name. Go in that post game. Say, listen, there's a lot of plays out there. They're on the edge. We could have, I know we got five power plays and our power play stinks, but there's other things outside of the play. I'm not even looking for power plays. I would just like this to be called fair and evenly to protect my players. The safety of my players is at risk here, and kind of take it that way and go that way. Don't ever mention Brad Marchand, because now you're just feeding him even more. Now you really know it, and it's hard to do because, again, he's so good at it, and you want to get him. You want to strangle him. You're just so frustrated by him by the end of that game that Sheldon can't control himself. He couldn't control himself to go there, and he, like you said, it's not right. Like, what he's saying wasn't correct. They had five power plays. Brad never gets away with anything. Like, all of these things. And now you just start. Now, somehow, Brad has now, after the game, changed the focus and made Sheldon Keefe look like a bad coach, too. Somehow, that happened. Yeah, all in game three. It's wild.
Then Marchand had a press conference shortly after the Sheldon Keefe one, where he addressed pretty much, because some people listened to the Sheldon Keefe one first, came and kind of asked him about it in a nicer way. And he just really didn't have anything to add to it. He just answered it politely, like, didn't really talk about Sheldon Keefe at all in the answer. It just felt like he's winning. He's having the time of his life. And I think that Leafs fan, like, their worst case scenario for this series was that they, first of all, paid all that money to go watch those two home games and have Brad Marchand be the star.
Well, and like, when the Bruins get asked about, like you said, like, Marchand's, doesn't directly address it, just talks about the game. Montgomery praises Marchand for, knowing where the line is and not crossing it and, just stepping up his game and, like, completely ignoring Sheldon Keefe's comments directly. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you got, a little bit of war of words. I mean, Montgomery did drop in the, when he sees Domi bump Swayman between periods, makes me think maybe he's in their head, like, so there's a little bit there from the Bruins side. And then Sheldon Keefe responds to that, I thought, not really in the best way either, where he's like, well, if bumping a guy means you're in their head, then everyone's in everyone's head, or, whatever he said. So this is like, this is the sideshow of the playoffs. Like, I love this stuff. Like, the coaches is going back and forth and someone trying to work the refs. I think, ultimately, on the ice, probably doesn't have too much of an effect, the words, but Marchand's actions absolutely do, because he clearly has gotten under the Leafs' skin and in their heads.
It's so blatant. Like, it couldn't be more obvious. Like, it just couldn't go this way. And you said it, like, Leafs, the way this whole, I can't believe it. I really can't. I cannot believe we're at this point, I'm going to say it a lot over the next couple of days, where this is far from over. We did this last season. This is far, far from over. The Leafs are still dangerous. Last game's the hardest to finish. When you get a team that is so what appears to be messed up, like the Leafs are right now, it's dangerous. So I'll preface with what I'm going to say now to that, because this is far from over, and the Bruins have to be laser focused to close this thing out, because you don't want to go back to Toronto and start rolling the dice on game sixes and sevens. But all of that being said, I cannot believe that this script has played out again this way. And you talk about Leafs fans, but we've, like, this is exactly how they lose every year. And I thought it was different. I thought they were a little bit more battle tested after winning a series last year. I thought the coaching would be better. It hasn't been. It's exactly what it always is up there, and I'm shocked that it is to this point. I'm shocked that the Bruins have been able to have it this easy to this point, and I'm curious if this whole thing it's going one of two ways. It's either an absolute full-on implosion on Tuesday night in the Garden for the Leafs, or they get resolved here over the next 2 days. They come together and they use all of this negativity that just happened for them over 4 days and bring it together. But either way, it'll be this group, especially the big four or five and the coaches, will be scrutinized either way.
Frustration seemed like it was at a maximum in game four. There's shots of the bench, the Toronto bench. Marner's taking off his gloves, spiking him on the ground. Like, guys are bickering. And obviously, like, you know, that kind of stuff happens. You're just trying to communicate. But it came across as just such a high level of frustration that it seemed like, at least in game four, they weren't going to be able to get past that and be able to finish that game. But I don't see why in these 2 days they can't quell that level of frustration and get their heads to a place where, like, okay, our season's over if we don't play well in Boston in game five. And they've been playing better against Boston. I know they haven't, they only have the one win against Boston this season. It was at TD Garden, but their record against Boston and Toronto for whatever reason has not been good.
No, it's been awful.
This is what it was. They've lost six straight playoff games on home ice and have been outscored 21-11 in those six games.
Yeah, and that's against anyone. So that's going back to last year, that Florida series. In that sense, like, if you're the Leafs looking for any silver linings at all, getting out of Toronto is probably good for them. 2 days between games is good for Austin Matthews to try to get better. It's good for William Nylander to get another full practice under his belt. Could be good for whichever goalie's going to be in there. We haven't even gotten to this, but they pull Ilya Samsonov after the second period. They go to Joe Wall in the third. We'll see if that's – my guess is they're probably going with Wall game five. You think so, Razor?
Yes, I do, yeah. I think that's an easy change-up for them. That's an easy difference than everything else that we've seen. I mean, Samsonov kind of lost it for them on that Frederick goal in game three. He's not good enough. All of the reports that I got about him going into this series, too aggressive, et cetera, have all come, gives up bad goals at random times, can't stay focused, can't stay consistent, doesn't prepare well enough, can't get to a spot, slides too much, all of these things that I got.
Bad report card.
No, yeah, and listen, he has great mental toughness. He has very good athleticism. We saw that in game two. Like, there's positives, but all the negatives that I was told to look for have come through in the four games. So I'll get to Joe Wall's negative list that I was given as well later if necessary. But
I'd like to hear it.
Certainly that's an easy valve. Again, They're looking for anything. So the goal is the easy one. Joe Wall will play game five.
Yeah, and it's, once again, you're saying, the narrative seems to play out in a similar way this season that it has in the past for Toronto in the playoffs, because goaltending having issues has been a narrative that's just continued.
No, you're right, and that's it too. I've done a million interviews over this series, and I said we're going to see four goalies in four games. But we're going to see four goalies in four games. I can't believe it actually happened again. Like, it was so obvious, that it was, it probably shouldn't have happened. But sure enough, here we are, and we've seen all the goalies in this series. It's just, I can't believe how it's all lined up the way it has.
Well, and if you look at the numbers, like, Swayman, number one in the playoffs in save percentage, .956. Ilya Samsonov, way down, 13th, .883. If you wanted to dive into the advanced metrics, this is according to Natural Stat Trick, and I don't think these stats are perfect, but just gives you an idea. Jeremy Swayman has given up four goals in the series, nine expected goals, so that's five goals saved. Ilya Samsonov has given up 12 goals on 10 expected goals, so that's two worse. So that's a seven goal swing right there. Like, again, just one metric, but that feels about accurate. Like, if you said, goaltending has been a seven-goal advantage for the Bruins in the series, that feels about right. And, like, that is about as decisive as we talked about a I talked about special teams off the top. Like, that's clearly been overwhelmingly decisive in the Bruins' favor. So is goaltending, which is what we expected going in. But you can't assume that, right? That the Bruins should have had a goaltending advantage over Florida last year, and it didn't play out that way for all kinds of reasons we don't really have to revisit. But this year, in this round, in this series, it is very much playing out that way, where it's just such a glaring, obvious advantage for the Bruins.
Well, and obviously the Frederick goal was one of those goals that should have been stopped that metric is talking about. But what was the other, like the Carlo goal that goes in that they're saying?
I mean, it might even just be like half a chance. Like, yeah. You know, it's not necessarily like a direct one for one, like this goal he should have saved. But, you know, even last night, though, Razor, you talk about him like overcommitting or whatever. Like,
oh, he was way out of place by the Marchand goal.
Yeah, he's way at the top of the crease, clearly playing shot. Well, for McAvoy.
Yeah. The Van Riemsdyk goal is not very good. Yeah. It's a really bad goal. That goal would not have been scored on Swayman or Allmark. And so again, you can like, it's half a game. It's half a goal a game. The Frederick one's obvious. That's one goal right off of that stat. But it's all the little plays that have happened. It's the one blocker save that he needed to make in game one. And then. Of course, if he had made the save against Frederick in game three, that's 1-0 in the third, then DeBrusk probably doesn't score. Then it all backs into how the game's played. Because, again, if you're getting random shots at 3-0, that's easier than being down 3-2 or 4-2 and goals go in more. So it's just been his game management. And he was great in game two. He made the big save in game two against Marchand early in the third that allowed his team to win. He didn't make any big saves for the Leafs in games three and four, and the Bruins were able to take advantage of it. So, again, that's why Bruins have to stay laser focused. Joe Wall should be better. There's a lot of ways that technically he's better and harder to score against, and he's going to be fresh, and he's going to be ready, and it's up to him. So the Bruins have to be laser focused that they're not getting any free goals on Tuesday night.
I'm curious, though, what are the things that you were told that they could maybe take advantage of?
Lots of traffic, not very good with traffic. So the Bruins have to do a better job of that. And they're going to have to do a better job, let's say, if they get through this series against Florida, getting shots through. The Leafs have blocked a lot of shots, and they're not very good defensively. So, and there hasn't been a lot of point shots and tips from the Bruins. So they have to do, they're going to have to be better at that against Florida, because they're just not going to get the chances that they've been given by a good Florida team. They give up nothing. You have to create by being chaos. But against Joe Wall, he's really bad on screenshots, one of the worst in the league, screenshots, tip shots, and high blocker. He doesn't do a good job with his blocker. Everywhere else, he skates really well. He stays inside of his crease. He isn't over-aggressive like Samsonov. So it's certainly a different look.
Yeah, and so since we got a text, we might as well just do this now, because someone asked, any chance they go back to Allmark in game five? No. Simply no. Especially not with 2 days before the game. Like,
again, yes.
Can that person text back in again? And I'm curious, like, no, and I'm dead serious. I'm curious if that question is because they want to see Allmark. Like,
no,
do people want Allmark to come back in?
Or the rest of the text says, or do you put a nail in the coffin in Allmark? So I think that they probably were leaning towards, they'd be a fan of Swayman.
Okay. I'm curious, like, why? Like, Swayman's literally the best goalie in the league. He's 25 years old. Like, he can play 4 games this week. He's completely fine doing that. So, no, it's just like, and listen, I am completely on board. If they win this series, you put Allmark in game one if you want to. If you wanted to do that, you could find a way to somehow convince me. I wouldn't do it. You could find a way to go both guys in the first 2 games down in Florida. If you really wanted to see both guys, but I think we're seeing how important it is to have a goalie who wins hockey games for you, and you play the guy who can do that. It's not about rest and looking ahead and feeling good. It's you don't mess around with the playoffs, and you win games when you can win them.
You know how you'll get more rest if you put Swayman in game five, the Bruins win, and then you know you don't have to play a game six and game seven in the series.
You go for the kill shot.
Yes.
I was as pro rotation as anyone for 2 years, but like it's over. Like they picked Swayman, they already ended it, and the Leafs can't beat them. They literally have not beat them all season, 6-0. So no, you know, listen, I might if you told me the Bruins are going on a run to the Stanley Cup final, I might still have. I think at some point you're probably using Ullmark again. I don't know exactly when it would be, but I would have some questions about whether Swayman holds up for 4 rounds, right? Just because we haven't seen it yet. But for the rest of this series, again, with the 2-day breaks in between, like, he should be fine. There shouldn't be any issue there. So, no, you're riding him. We got to get to a break here, but you can join us 617-779-7937. Text in 37937. We will be right back. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back to Sunday Skate on WEEI.
How did you feel that went?
Well, he was really good. What went into the decision was... we rotated the first two games, and then Swayman played so well, there was, you know, we were going to go with the hot hand.
You going to stay with the hot hand again for Tuesday?
I don't know, Tara. I'll find out on Tuesday.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. With Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Prue, I'm Scott McLaughlin. And that was Jim Montgomery. After the Bruins' 3-1 win in Game 4.
He knows we have to ask, right? Like, he knows that.
Sure.
Even though, and we know he's not going to tell us.
And also, we all know they are continuing to ride the hot hand in Game 5. But, you know, he's not going to announce it. You know, that's interesting. Like, I do think that legitimately might have been the plan, just because it makes a lot of sense, right? Like, give each of them one of the first two games and then evaluate from there. Like, that made all the sense in the world. The only reason I wondered if we might see Ullmark again in Game 4 was, if you go back to early April, I think it was a Saturday game, the Garden, before the game, Montgomery was asked, you know, how he might approach a playoff rotation or what it might look like. And he said, I think if we committed to it, it would go Game 1, Game 2, Game 3, Game 4, and then we'd go from there. So that just made me wonder if, like, going into the playoffs, did they already commit to it through four games? Like, did they tell both guys, hey, we're rotating through four?
Well, they clearly decommitted from that after game three.
But I actually think I believe Montgomery when he says that wasn't the plan. I think the rotation was two games and then evaluate from there. Like, that just makes more sense to me, because committing to something for four games, it, like, four games is an eternity in the playoffs. Like, that's
Razor's giving you side eye right now.
Of course, this is the whole. This is what I've been saying for 2 months, that four games is too long. You can't give away games in the play. That's why you don't do a rotation. You, no way. No, I'll give you a pass, Scott, because I really like you, and somehow you've talked your way into it, and that's okay. But anybody on that Twitch or on that text thing or whatever it is. And you know who you are out there who is clamoring for rotation and saying rotation, who now says, well, yeah, two games is a rotate. No, 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 no. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to jump on this bandwagon now.
Good
you're off. You're out. Rotation was at least four games. I heard people go through the six games and then pick the best one for game seven. No, a rotation, you had to at least get through four games for it to be a rotation. If you say that, yeah, I was right because I said they were going to rotate, after what they've just done, no way, yeah, Jose.
No, I'm not right.
I'm not saying you. No one has to. I'm saying the people that were absolutely off, like going crazy, that it has to be every other game no matter what. I don't care if this guy gets a shutout and this guy. You have to see it because they can't play. They get tired playing back-to-back games, like all of this stuff. That's all I'm saying. Rotation has to be four games. It had to have been four games. Now we'll never use the word rotation ever again. And listen, we're going to see Allmark again. These guys are going to go on a long run. They're going to go all the way through the conference finals, maybe the Stanley Cup finals. We're going to see both goaltenders play. Allmark's going to have to win a couple games for them to win the Stanley Cup, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. But we're not going to use the word rotation.
That's right, Scott. You're out.
If they go on a long enough run, I think I'll find somewhere in there that I can bring it back, but... but it's not right now.
You can
say both goalies. Both goalies works. Just the word rotation. So you're gonna have to you're much smarter and much better with words. So I'm sure the thesaurus has another word for rotation that you can use that you can fool me with. You'll be able to fool me with like some fancy word that's the same as rotation, and I'll say, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. I believe you can do that, but it can't be the R word.
And for the record, and Bridget can attest to this, on the podcast, I did actually say, like, I would have gone with Allmark in game four, but that's, I think that's most because I was just locked into the take.
Yeah. like, that's okay.
But like, I know.
It's not wrong, right? Like, that's not wrong, because technically, if you watch that game four, Allmark would have won that game, right?
Yeah.
Like, Allmark would have won that game. Swayman didn't have to, like, Swayman made one good save on Nylander at the right time in the third period. Beyond that, it was 12 shots through two periods, really steady Eddie because the Bruins played great. But it's just the presence, and you stay with the guy. There's no doubting that Allmark couldn't have won that game. They could have done the rotation, but it just proved, like, you need to have a guy, and the players want the guy, and you don't mess with success. That's all. And again, that's I'm going to stay a little bit on your side for you in that we will, like, Allmark is going to have to play in the next round. He will. He's going to have to fit in somewhere because it is a strength of this team. They recognize it's a strength. They recognize it's a change of pace for them, and they can use both guys in a good manner. It just, you just can't, they're not going to, I think they've proven and that they will not lock themselves into something. And it's going to be, you know, a little more performance-based.
I found the word you're going to have to use, by the way. Just splitting. Splitting time.
Splitting's even.
I'll find something.
Well, actually, I did look it up in the thesaurus, and there's really not another good word in context. So that's really your only other option, uh-oh, Scott.
I'll invent something.
Yeah, there you go.
By the way, we have a text that said, imagine if Allmark starts next game.
Well, one of them says, imagine if Allmark starts the next two. I don't know how that's happening.
I can't imagine.
No, and this series was obviously, like, really set up perfectly for it to become Swayman's series.
Yes.
And it's a team that he's dominated. That dominance has continued into this series. You have 2 days between games three and four, two more between games four and five. Like, the schedule's perfect. The opponent's perfect. If Allmark had won game two, maybe he's in there game four to close it out, right? Like, then there wouldn't have really been as much of a reason to go away from it. And, you know, we've all talked about it on podcasts and shows. Like, Allmark's not why they lost game two. He was really good in that game. But they did lose the game. And they just haven't lost with Swayman. So even for the biggest pro-rotation person like me, like, at some point you just can't ignore that. You just can't ignore that Swayman is now 6-0 against this team. Like it's too much.
How about this? A goalie pattern. Does that work? Could you use that?
So no, I'm gonna keep looking.
And just to stay on this a little bit, like next round lines up for Allmark's 3-0 against Florida this season. He's given up 5 goals in 3 games. He went through all of this last season. He's going to be a little more comfortable playing Florida in the playoffs and in that building down there, et cetera, et cetera. So there's lots of different angles where you can foresee a chance for Allmark to get in next series because of all the same reasons why Swayman. But this is why also you have to take all of those things into consideration. Going into this series, it was very obvious. Jeremy Swayman, after game one, it was very obvious that he plays well and is perfect for playing this Toronto team. It was very obvious. It would have been completely fine to run the table with him, win this series, and then Allmark plays game one against Florida. Like, there's ways to do it both ways, so I'm glad we've gotten to this point where it's not something we have to really talk about. We just talk about how the goalie performance is, how they're playing, and know that both of them can give this team a chance to win going forward.
Okay, we got to get to a commercial break here, but hour two of Sunday Skate coming up. Before the Bruins get to the next series, they have to finish this one. So I do want to get into what they've learned from last year, how they finish this out this year, avoid the same mistakes, avoid leaving the door open. You can join in 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. We will be right back.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.